Good afternoon, 4:30 and 46 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
We wanted to make sure everything was safe for our staff members and for our students. So again, we did call off school today.
Lawrence County School Superintendent Robbie Fletcher says classes were canceled today at the high school in Louisa. He says it was a precaution after a chemical spill on Tuesday.
Two people have been killed in a pre-dawn fire near Sandy Hook.
And Kentucky's Attorney General says he did not take office to wage legal battles with the governor.
In sports, the UK Wildcats are back on the hardwood at Rupp Arena tonight. They play Valparaiso.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy and cold this evening, lows in the upper 20s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Two people have been killed following a house fire early this morning in Elliott County. WCHS is reporting that the county coroner believes the victims are related, but their identities have not yet been released. Stephen Witt says the home on P. Wagoner Road in Sandy Hook was fully engulfed when firefighters arrived. He says the bodies have been sent to the state crime lab in Frankfort for positive identification. The Kentucky Fire Marshal is on the scene. The cause of the blaze has not yet been determined, and the investigation continues.
Lawrence County High School was closed today so that crews could clean up a chemical spill in one of the chemistry storage areas. The chemicals that spilled included over half a gallon of hydrochloric acid and glacial acetic acid. The chemicals caused some corrosion to the floor, wall, and some shelving, all of which was removed yesterday. School Superintendent Dr. Robbie Fletcher says the next step is making sure fumes from the spill aren't affecting air quality.
The group is supposed to come back and do some air quality samples. Again, I was allowed in there later. We feel like it's safe. But again, just to make sure and to err on the side of caution, we called off school, and then we also want to make sure we do those air sample qualities a little bit later today to make sure it's safe for our students.
Fletcher is confident Lawrence County High School will be open tomorrow, but he is waiting on those air samples to come back before he makes the final call.
Two coal state senators are doing battle over legislation to extend the pension and health care benefits of retired miners. Those benefits are set to expire at the end of the year, but Kentucky's senior senator Mitch McConnell is attempting to extend them for another 4 months through a continuing resolution. The Republican spoke to reporters at a press conference in Washington.
What I support is, and what I've recommended to the House that's putting together the final CR, is miners' health care for the duration of the CR. I'm hopeful and optimistic that'll be a part of the CR once it comes over to us from the House.
But West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin says a four-month extension is cruel and unacceptable. He spoke on the Senate floor Tuesday.
16,000 were sent letters. You're going to lose them by the end of the year, end of this year. Now what we're about to do, which I believe is totally, totally inhumane, we're about to now send them another letter that, I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith, I know we told you you're going to lose your health care on December the 1st, but now we're going to tell you on January we'll send you another letter and tell you you're going to lose it in April. Now you tell me there's anything fair about that.
Manchin says many of the small health clinics in coal mining towns will close unless there's a long-term solution.
The commissioner in the Kentucky Attorney General's Department of Criminal Investigations says law enforcement offices across the Commonwealth will soon have a set of resources to help them investigate and prosecute sexual assault cases. John Moberly says the toolkit will be available from several sources.
Late this week and early next week, those are going to be disseminated to every law enforcement agency directly in the state. So those will be sent out. There'll be different access points. They can get them offline. They can contact us by phone. And we've been working with law enforcement now for several months. We've been polling them, finding out what they need. What training do you need? Where do you feel the weakest? What's your strongest suit?
Moberly says the kits include an inventory of best practices to assist police and prosecutors as they probe allegations of rape and assault and try to bring justice for victims.
Democrat Andy Beshear says he never sought the office of Kentucky Attorney General to do battle with Republican Governor Matt Bevin over Bevin's use of executive orders. The AG spoke about his legal tiffs with the governor during an interview with CN2's Pure Politics. Beshear contends his lawsuits against the governor were not political fights. He says they were constitutional.
And I can tell you each and every time I've ended up in a court battle with the governor, it's been because I have felt that his actions violated the law or the Constitution, that I felt that at my core, and that this was an important violation that we needed to stand up against. The actions that I challenged could have been taken by anybody.
And Beshear says none of the lawsuits have been about the Attorney General's authority. He says they've concerned the separation of powers between the executive and legislative branches of state government.
Flemingsburg's new police chief is expected to be on duty as of January 1st. Brian Bowling was officially named to the job last month by members of the city council. According to Mayor Marty Voyers, the 22-year Kentucky State Police veteran will bring a great deal of experience to the chief's role.
I spent 3 years as post commander, post 8, there in Moorhead. He worked in Frankfort for a time and was in charge of security details there for the governor and lieutenant governor. He was the head law enforcement person in planning and implementing security for the Oral Equestrian Games a few years ago.
Bowling's three brothers and his father have also worked in law enforcement. He'll be replacing Randy Sargent, who is retiring after nearly a decade as Flemingsburg's police chief.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin has not yet appointed anyone to fill a vacant seat on Grayson City Council. MSPR's Sean Delaney has that story.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, Grayson City Legislature has received no indications from the governor's office of who may take the seat of former Councilwoman Juanita Kennedy, who passed away in October. Kentucky law allows city legislatures 30 days to fill a vacancy. After the deadline passes, it is up to the governor to make an appointment. Grayson City officials say they have contacted Governor Bevin's office, but no calls have been returned. It is possible that the seat may remain vacant until the beginning of the year, when newly elected council members from last month's election will begin their terms. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
The Rowan County Fiscal Court plans to do some hiring during a special meeting on Monday. According to Judge Executive Walter Blevins, the court will name someone to replace retiring solid waste coordinator Bob Wells. Blevins says that person will also serve as the county's first ever building inspector.
There's really no code enforcement in the as far as single homes, and we think it's a step in the right direction. We're the only county in Eastern Kentucky that looks like we're going to have growth in the next 15, 20 years. That came out from the Census Bureau. And we just think we need to get ahead of the curve on this and try to protect the citizens of the community.
Rowan County is expected to add a few thousand residents in the next 15 years. Blevin says the fiscal court has received a number of complaints from those who have built homes out in the county who have suffered because of shoddy workmanship done by unscrupulous contractors.
The superintendent of the Rowan County Schools says the old middle school has served the district well in a variety of ways since its closure in 2011, but its usefulness may be coming to an end. In its latest role, the 60-year-old structure recently became the temporary home of the district's administrative offices after the former central office building was sold to Moorhead State University last year for $2 million. However, Marvin Moore says while some inexpensive renovations have given the old school new life, it will be out of a job again in 2018.
After we get through and we renovate the KCTS building, we are going to move the board office out to that facility and the early learning center and then the alternative school. And then we're also talking about the field house and some other programs. And, of course, that KCTCS building is a 70,000-square-foot building. That gives the board a lot of options to move programs out there.
The Rowan School System purchased the Rowan Campus Center building of Maysville Community and Technical College last year for $5 million. Moore says after the old middle school is empty again, it could be sold and repurposed for another use.
Kentucky Parks Commissioner Donnie Holland says the department's so-called Refreshing the Finest campaign will continue through the end of the year and into 2017 as well. Holland says some 50 projects have already been launched as part of the renovation initiative, and just as many are on the drawing board.
We have completed projects at Carter Caves, Lake Barkley, Lake Cumberland, Big Bone Lick, Natural Bridge, Penny Rile Forest, State Park, and as we said, we have 51 others in process, and there will be 40 or 50 more yet to be started.
Holland says the Carter Caves project included repairs to the lodge and other exterior facilities, as well as some painting. He says the lodge at Natural Bridge was also improved and there were upgrades to walking paths. Holland says the improvements are owing to an $18 million appropriation from the state legislature.
The incoming GOP majority for the Kentucky House of Representatives has chosen 13 men and 4 women to lead standing committees that will decide what bills will be heard when the legislature convenes in January. Republicans won a majority in the state house last month for the first time in nearly 100 years. Committee chairs will decide which pieces of legislation can advance during the 30-day session beginning January 3rd. Representative Stephen Rudy of Paducah will lead the Appropriations and Revenue Committee that writes the state budget. Representative Jerry Miller of Louisville will lead the State Government Committee that will examine Kentucky's woeful public pension system. Representative Adia Wooshner of Florence, a retired nurse, will lead the Health and Family Services Committee that will likely vet the majority's anti-abortion legislation.
The Kentucky State Police are restarting a program that comforts children in traumatic situations. Trooper Joe Veneman says the program will give trooper teddy bears to children who are victims of or witnesses to dangerous or traumatic events.
It's a program that we have done, I believe the last time was 8 years ago, and it's basically a program that we have set up for some of the kids that we might interact with, whether it's on a domestic type of call or a situation where they might have been in an automobile collision or any type of serious incident which they might see the state police.
KSP Commissioner Rick Sanders says that the BEAR program is meant to instill trust between children and officers. The program began in 1989 but eventually ran out of funding around 8 years ago. New funding for the BEARs is coming from seized assets from drug investigations. Each state police post will receive a shipment of the BEARs. They will be handed out to road first responders.
And finally, this afternoon, there are new monuments and a new street name in Catlettsburg this week. We get that story from MSPR's Victoria Agee.
The Ashland Daily Independent reports the engraved stones donated by the Russell Compton Railroad Museum to honor the late Kelly Harper and Frank Branham were officially dedicated on Saturday. The two men were childhood friends and influential community leaders in Catlettsburg. Harper's stone was placed in front of the old train depot because of his efforts to restore the building. The name of the street in front of the depot has also been changed from Chestnut Street to Kelly Harper Boulevard. Harper was Catlettsburg's first Main Street director. Frank Branham replaced Harper in that role. His monument was placed on the lot where the Catlettsburg National Bank once stood. The area is now known as the Frank Branham Plaza, and it includes the two lion statues that used to stand in front of the old bank. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Victoria Agee.
And turning to take a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly cloudy skies with flurries possible late, lows in the upper 20s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 36 degrees. Thursday night, cold and partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy with flurries possible near dawn. Lows will be only in the upper teens Thursday night. For Friday, partly sunny with flurries possible in the morning, highs in the upper 20s. It is currently 48 degrees in Ashland, 43 in Flemingsburg, it's 45 degrees in Inez, 44 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. Right here on the campus of Moorhead State University, it is 46 degrees.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and it is wonderful to have your company on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, two Kentuckians, a long-serving state representative and the head of the state crime lab, have been given the Champions of Justice Award. Greg Stottlemyre has details.
To survivors of intimate partner violence and their advocates, Joni Jenkins and Laura Sudkamp are champions. The two women who serve Kentucky in different ways have received the 2016 Champions of Justice Award. A state representative since 1995, Jenkins has helped secure a variety of domestic violence and sexual assault legal reforms. She feels the most important legislation she sponsored was changing the definition of consent in a rape.
Up until that point, you had to prove in court that you physically fought back, that saying no was not sufficient to be considered a victim of sexual assault.
And Laura Sudkamp, who oversees the state's crime lab, was honored for her work in helping reduce Kentucky's backlog of more than 3,000 untested rape kits. Sudkamp says the goal is to have the turnaround time down to 90 days for testing rape kits by the summer of 2018.
A lot of it is to bring resolution to the victims who never knew where their kits went and what happened to them.
The state has increased funding to address the problem, and Sudkamp says just last week, 11 new biologists began working at the central lab, increasing the number of people testing DNA to around 30. She says even if a victim no longer wants to prosecute or a case is weak, eliminating the backlog is vital.
When you find out through all these kits having to come in and having to be tested and quickly, you find out that the same guy has done this 6 times. Does that not make a case that is prosecutable? And that's where they go, yes, definitely.
Representative Jenkins says despite advances in sexual assault laws, the nation must do more to overcome a culture which accepts behavior that crosses the line.
If we have a culture that accepts, you know, the boys will be boys and it's up to women to fend that off, that's very disturbing to me. So we're going to have to constantly, I guess, keep looking at what we have in the statutes and how do we hone that differently.
A third Champions for Justice Award was given posthumously to Ian Sonigo, an Assistant Attorney General, for his legal advocacy. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming your way this afternoon on NPR's All Things Considered. That's at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on Morehead State Public Radio. Well, Braxton will have a look at sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, gemstone carvings, fossils, and natural art from around the globe. Eat Gallery brings you the world with heirlooms to last a lifetime or a special gift for the holidays. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky basketball team has an 8 o'clock game at Rupp Arena tonight. Coach John Calipari's sixth-ranked Wildcats will try to bounce back after their first loss of the season as they play host to Valparaiso.
This is going to be an extremely hard game for us to win. They have 3 seniors, 2 juniors. You know what they did a year ago, and they came back to be together and well-coached. Terrific zone. I saw them play one game all zone. I don't think they're going to play us all zone, but I saw one game they played every bounce was a zone defense.
Valpo reached the championship game of the NIT last March, losing to George Washington. Senior forward Alec Peters leads the 7-1 Crusaders. He averages over 25 points a game. Number 11 Louisville also has a home game tonight. The Cardinals will face Southern Illinois at 7. Coach Rip Pitino has plenty of respect for their opponent.
When you look at their starting lineup and you see senior, junior, senior, senior, sophomore, 5 guys averaging in double figures, and they, on top of that, they run their offense as well as any team we've faced. And they run multiple pick and rolls. They're very difficult to defend, and it'll be an excellent game.
Southern Illinois is off to a 5-3 start and is coming off of back-to-back wins over Texas Southern and Murray State. With the KFC Yum Center debt growing larger and some city and state officials pushing to alter the terms of the lease the University of Louisville has with the Yum Center in order to funnel more funds towards the debt, University of Louisville Athletic Director Tom Jurich is threatening to build a new arena. Speaking with WLOU, Jurich said he wants to build a new arena on the Louisville campus.
I can be honest with you, over on our campus, we're very tired of it. We're tired of all the rhetoric. If they don't want us, then they just tell us. We'll leave. I'd love to build one on the Silas property. I think we should. I don't think we'll want it down there, so I think we should.
The Yum Center was opened in 2010. The arena debt is expected to reach $37 million by 2029. While focusing on final exams this week, the Morehead State women's basketball team is also trying to prepare for a Saturday road game at Florida A&M. Right now, Coach Greg Todd says the Eagles are just trying to stay in shape and do a little drill work.
Right now, just playing up and down, not necessarily preparing for A&M just yet. We will start looking at them a little bit more once we have our day off, coming back in Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
The MSU women are 3-6 after last Saturday's home victory against Lipscomb. The Round County girls team will take on Russell in the championship game of the EKC tournament tomorrow. Head coach Elaine Douglas says the game against the 16th region defending champions will be a good opportunity for her young squad.
They're very talented and athletic and quick. Got a very quick bunch. So as the season progresses, I think we'll see improvement and fit quickly. But they just need game experience. They need, you know, varsity game experience.
The Round boys were knocked out of the EKC tournament last night by West Carter, 82-72. The Cincinnati Bengals pay a visit to rival Cleveland this weekend. After picking up a win last Sunday against the Eagles, head coach Marvin Lewis says his team can't overlook the winless Browns.
Playing a Cleveland team who has played much better than what their record shows. They have been in these football games and continue to play very hard and have opportunities. And, you know, they're coming off the bye week and I'm sure refocus and for this last quarter of the season.
The Bengals are 4-7-1 on the year. The Browns are 0-12. Billy Hamilton says his rehab is going well. The Cincinnati Reds center fielder missed the last month of the 2016 season because of a strained oblique muscle. Hamilton says the injury was so bad that he wasn't allowed to do anything through the month of October.
I did no movement, any type of swings or anything. I just relaxed and let it heal up by itself, and it worked for me. So like I said, I'm back to doing everything, full go, swinging, running, everything's good. Main thing is to keep my body right, is get a routine where I can be healthy all of next year.
The Speedy Hamilton hit 260 last season with 58 steals in just 119 games. A handful of teams, including the Texas Rangers, have reportedly expressed an interest in acquiring him. And finally, in sports, the Morehead State softball team has announced its 2017 schedule. The Eagles open with 29 non-conference games before starting OVC play at Austin Peay on March the 25th. Coach David Williams believes the docket will push his team.
I think it's a really good mix. We've got some good opponents, some like opponents in there. That will prepare us for conference play early on. And then obviously we have our conference. So I think that the entire way through, it's a pretty balanced schedule.
The MSU softball team opens 2017 on February the 10th against St. Louis in a tournament played down in Georgia. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Single game and season tickets for men's and women's basketball are now on sale, including 16 OVC contests beginning January 5th with a doubleheader hosting Eastern Illinois. Tickets and more information are available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com. It is 4:53. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of the stock market for us this afternoon, and here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed sharply higher as the Dow and S&P hit new record highs while investors awaited a monetary policy announcement from the European Central Bank. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 297.84 to finish at a record closing high of 19,549.62. The S&P 500 was up 29.12 at 2241.35, also a record. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 60.76, finishing at 5393.76. And, of course, the NASDAQ is just shy of an all-time closing high. There were three stocks up today for every loser on the New York Stock Exchange. And the Dow Transports in particular have been very strong, and they traded at their first intraday high since 2014. And the transport average was up 2.5% today, and since the election, transports have risen more than 12%. Now, of course, they're considered a very strong proxy of the economy in general. Biotech stocks were among the few losers, as the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF finished with a loss of almost 3%. And as of today's close, the Dow has posted gains in 18 of the past 22 sessions and has had 12 record closes since the election. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ have risen 4.8% and 3.9% respectively since the election. U.S. Treasury yields fell across the board, with the 10-year yield finishing near 2.34%. And in oil markets, West Texas Intermediate futures for January delivery settled 2.3% lower at $49.77 a barrel as doubts over an agreed-upon OPEC production cut persisted. This despite a reported drawdown of 2.4 million barrels by the Energy Information Administration. In overseas, European stocks traded higher, with a pan-European stock 600 index gaining just under 1%. In Asia, stocks closed mostly higher, with the Shanghai Composite advancing 0.71% and the Nikkei 225 gaining about 0.75%. Among Dow stocks, your best performers were Nike and Home Depot, and your worst performers were Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Western Digital and Micron Technology, and the worst performers were United Health Services and Indo International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $2.49 at $114.66, CSX up $1.08 at $37.13, AEP up $0.76 at $60.23, AK Steel up $0.22 at $10.77, Marathon Petroleum up $2.41 at $49.64, and Anthem was up $1.70 to finish at $145.25. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Turning to take a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight we'll see mostly cloudy skies with flurries possible late. Lows will be in the upper 20s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 36 degrees. Thursday night, cold and partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy later on. Flurries possible near dawn. Lows are only going to be in the upper teens Thursday night. For Friday, partly sunny, flurries possible in the morning, highs in the upper 20s. Friday night, cold and partly cloudy, lows 15 to 20 degrees. For Saturday, mostly sunny skies, highs near 33 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy skies, lows near 26 degrees. For Sunday, we'll see rain and a chance of snow. Highs are going to be in the lower 40s. The chance of precipitation Sunday is at 80%. For Sunday night, it's going to be cloudy with rain likely, and there's a chance of snow as well. Lows will be in the lower 30s, and your chance of rain and precipitation is at 70%. Taking a look at area temperatures, it's currently 48 degrees in Ashland, 43 in Flemingsburg, it's 45 degrees in Inez, 44 in Lexington and Winchester, it's 46 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.